Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erechin Daf Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We continue our shiur with the topic of donations that an idol worshiper may or may not give to the Beis Hamikdash. We will continue from the top line of Daf Vav. The Gemara opens up with two Tanaic sources that seem to be contradictory. The Gemara will then resolve them. Tone Chada, one source says, Ovei Kechovim Shehisnadev Nidova Lebedek Abayis, an idol worshipper who made a donation to the Temple Repair Fund, the Beis Hamikdash Fund for temple repairs, Mekablin Hemenu, we accept his donation. Vitanya Idoch, another source says, Ein Mekablin, that we do not accept. Omer of Elam Rabbi Yochanan, Lokashia, there is a resolution, these do not pose a difficulty. Ha Betchila, Ha Besoif. Source number two that says we don't accept from them, that is at the beginning of the building of the Beis Hamikdash. If, however, we're dealing with after the Beis Hamikdash is already up and running, that's what source one deals with, then we do accept their donations. The Omar of Asi, Omar of Yochanan, Bitchila, when you're talking about the building of the Beis Hamikdash, the initial construction of the Beis Hamikdash, Afilu Mayim Umelach Ein Mekablin Mehem. We don't accept donations from them, even things as minor as water and salt. However, Basof, Dovar HaMesuyam Ein Mekablin. Dovar She'eno Mesuyam Mekablin. Before we go further, we should point out that the Svara for this we discussed in our previous shiur, namely at the beginning when the Beis Hamikdash was being constructed, there was an approach not to accept any financial assistance from the Gentiles, because that would create a sense of dependency on idol worshipper donations, and many idol worshippers were actually of ill intent and would be scheming to make the Jewish people dependent on their donations, and then they would start to call the shots, so to speak, and start delays in the building, because after all, the one who contributes is also the one who has a say-so. And they would then thwart the entire building process altogether, as we discussed in our previous shiur. So that when it comes to getting the Beis Hamikdash constructed, we took the approach of not accepting any donations from them. However, once it's up and running, then that threat falls away, and we're able to accept their donations. At this point in the Gemara, we said that Basof, after the Beis Hamikdash is up and running, we do accept donations from them. However, that too is qualified. The Gemara says that Dovar HaMesuyam Ein Mekablin, Dovar She'eno Mesuyam Mekablin. What is meant by a Dovar HaMesuyam? Rashi says, Shenira Ba'ayin, Ein Mekablin Mehem, something that's visible, that's identifiable as being an item donated by the Gentile, that we don't accept from them. The Gnai, who, first of all, it's a negative thing that the Jewish temple has things that are contributed by idol worshippers that are identifiable as such. And the Oid Shemisparim Bo, and furthermore, they then express their own personal glory through them. The Gemara goes further and says, Heshi Domi Dover HaMesuyim. What is an example of this Dover HaMesuyim, something that's visible and identifiable? Omar Rav Yosef Kigon Amo Kalyo Orev. This is a device or a plate made of metal that was placed on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash in order to keep the birds away from the roof, from settling on the roof. Mosiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef raises a question from a pasuk that deals with the beginning of the Beis HaMikdash. And in looking at this pasuk in its entirety, we see that donations were accepted from the idol worship population toward the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That is a question then on what we answered above. So we're asking a question from a pasuk on that which we had mentioned above in resolving the Tanaic sources. So we have a pasuk from Nehemiah, Perek Beis, Pasuk Ches. You will notice on the side that we have included this pasuk in its entirety. And you might want to look at the side of the Gemara where you see the entire pasuk quoted. The pasuk says, V'igeres el osof shomer hapardes asher lamelech, asher yitain li eitzim lekoros es shari habira, asher labayis ulechomas ho'ir, v'labayis asher ovoi elo v'yitain li hamelech kiyad elokai hatoivo olai. So we see that from this pasuk that the Gentile monarch was contributing toward the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So, the Gemara, Mosiv Rav Yosef, Yigeresel, Osif Shoma Pardis, Eshel HaMelech, V'chulei, and we saw the entire pasuk. The essence of this is that they were accepting from Koresh, the Persian monarch, contributions toward the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And as we said before, isn't that problematic? Doesn't that create a sense of dependency on them, on the Gentiles? And wouldn't that lead to their taking over, so to speak, and eventually stopping the whole process? Amarle Abaye answers, Shiny Malchusa. When you're dealing with the crown, the monarch, Delo Hadrabe, it is different. He won't back out. When a king makes a pledge to do something, he sticks to it. The Omar Shmuel, I Omar Malchusa Akarnaturi Velohodarbe. If the king says, we are going to uproot a mountain, in other words, we're going to move a mountain, the mountain will be removed and he won't back out. So the explanation that was given at the bottom of Daf Hei Omid Beis, called Rifyon Yadayim, which meant literally a loosening of the hands, but which meant a lack of continuity in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, that Svora, that logic won't apply when you're dealing with a donation and a pledge from the king himself. Omar Rav Yehuda Marav, Oyvei Kichovim Shehifrish Truma Mikriv, an idol worshipper that sets aside, that tithes his produce, Bodkin Oso, we check him out. Now we're talking about an idol worshipper that has separated a Truma tithe from his own produce. So Bodkin Oso, we check him out. E Omar Bidas Yisrael Hifrisha, if he says that my tithing is in accordance with the way Jews tithe, so Tinosein LeKohen, then it shall be given to a Kohen. Namely, just like Jews, when they tithe the Truma tithe, they give it to a Kohen. The idol worshipper that declared he was doing his tithing in the same spirit as Jews tithe, so his Truma shall also be given to a Kohen. V'im lav, if he doesn't say that I am doing this Bidas Yisrael, Te'una Geniza, then it has to be buried. It has to be put aside and out of use. Chayshinon Shema Beliboy LaShamayim. We suspect that maybe he had in mind a dedication for literally for heaven, but L'Shem Hegdish, for as he had a mindset to sanctify this tithe. The Gemara now raises a question. Before we go on, just let us note that we've entitled this section of Gemara under our No Say heading. You can see on the outside margin something called No Say, which is a title or topic heading to the sugya. Akum Shehifrish Truma Mitvoso, an idol worshiper that set aside a truma tithe from his grains. Oy Hisnadev Nidava, or made a donation. Mosai Amrinon the boy Geniza. When do we say that it must be set aside or buried? We should point out that when you're talking about temple dedications that are made after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, namely Bizman Hazeh, since there is no use for it, there's no use for it in so far as there's no Beis HaMikdash to give it to, it carries with it an Isur Hanoh, a prohibition of benefiting from it. So as to not cause someone to stumble and actually benefit from it, we say boy Geniza has to be buried. We now learn a source that contains in it a question. You can see we have a long question marking, a kuf that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Meisvei, oivei kichovim, shisnadev koira, lebeis haknesis, an idol worshipper that donated a beam toward the construction of a shul. Veshem kosuv aleha. Shem is a reference to the Almighty's name is written on the beam. Botkin oso. We check him out, the idol worshipper. Im Omar bidas Yisrael hifrashtia. If he said, I set this aside, I'm donating it within the mindset of a Jew. Yogud v'yishtamish b'moisar. Yogud is you cut away the holy name of the Almighty, cut that away off the beam, and use the rest in construction of the shul. The imlav, if he didn't say that he is donating it b'das Yisrael, then te'uno geniza, the beam has to be buried. Chayshin and shema belibo l'shamayim. We're suspect that he may have had in mind to sanctify the beam. Taimo de shame kosov oleha. The reason that Geniza is mentioned here is because you have this added feature that the Almighty's name was etched or written on the beam that shows us that he had this divine mindset. Reading this again, Taimo de Shem Kosov Oleho de Bayo Geniza. Ha Ein Shem Kosov Oleho Lo Bayo Geniza. But without this added feature of the Almighty's name being added to the item, then we wouldn't insist on Geniza. And yet above, when we were talking about an Oved Kohavim that set aside a Truma tithe, we were saying that if he did not announce that he was doing it B'das Yisrael, it would need Geniza. Here we see that Geniza is necessary only because you have Shem Kosov Oleho. The Gemara responds and says, Hu hadin de'afagav de'ein Shem Kosov Oleho nami bayo Geniza? The same halacha would apply even if the Almighty's name was not written on it. There still would be a Geniza requirement. The ho komash malon. The following is what this source is revealing to us. The afagav, the shame, kosov oleo, even though the Almighty's name was etched on the beam, if he told us that he set it aside, bedas Yisrael, Yogud v'yishtamish b'moysar. You cut off the Almighty's name that you put aside and use the rest. The shame shalobim koimoy lav kodosh. The presence of the Almighty's name in a place that it ought not be, like on a beam. That's shame shalo b'mkoymoi. We tell you, it doesn't create holiness. Disnan hoya kasuv al yodas hakelev al kari amito. If the Almighty's name was written on handles of vessels or on legs of beds, hare ze yogud v'yignos. You cut away that shame, the Almighty's name, and bury it. Showing us that the presence of the shame on a place that it ought not be does not create, impart holiness onto the item. Of course, the shame itself, as you can see from the Gemara, that itself remains holy, and therefore we say cut it away and bury it. But the rest can still be used. As you can see, we have a slash mark in our Gemara, indicating that which follows is a new idea. On the outside margin, we have a nose klali, tztokas trumos lebeis haknesis. Talk about tztoka, charity, and donations made to shuls. In the Gemara itself, we see now a couple of markings. We see a house marking, and this is explained under our Nosei Mivne heading. The house represents Shnei Lishonos B'Divrei Rav Nachman. We have two versions as to what Rav Nachman says. You can see there's an Aleph version here, the Aleph to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. And if you skim down the page, along the same line, you'll see a Beis. Where you see the bays, there's a squiggle underline expression, anan hochi masninon law, which introduces another version. And when we have transition expressions in the Gemara introducing new versions, we use this squiggle underline to indicate that transition. And on that same line, you see another house around Rav Nachman. That's the second version. Rav Nachman says, "Ha'oimer sela ze litztaka muter l'shanosa." If someone says, "I'm dedicating this coin to charity," you can change its use. What that means, of course, will be the subject of the Gemara. Shortly after we see Rav Nachman Aleph, we will see the crown marking. We've decided to mark off Rav Ami and Rava with this crown marking. They explain or qualify Rav Nachman's comment, and the reason for this marking is based on what you see in the Rashi later on the page, Dibur Hamaschil Atun. If you see later on the page, down three lines from the bottom, Atun Hochi Masni Sulo, the Rav Nachman, Mutu Lashanosa Stamakomar, Rav Ami Pirsha, Bein la'atzmo, bein la'acher, v'rova hodar pirsha, bein olai, bein harezu. So what Rashi shows us is that Ravi Ami and Rova are both explanations of Rav Nachman. And hence, in our markings, based on this Rashi, we marked Rav Ami and Rova with the crown shape. Now, the Gemara itself. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravua. Ha'oimer sela zu litztoka muter lishanosa. A person who says that I'm donating this sela. Sela is a type of coin. I'm dedicating this coin to charity. Muter lishanosa means you can use it, you can change it, meaning you can use it for your own purposes. And after a while, you will then pay to the charity that coin. So that even though you dedicated a particular coin to charity, or a particular amount of money you set aside for charity, you can, before actually giving it to the poor or the needy, you can use it for your own purposes and pay the tzedakah later on. Savor mina li'atzmoy in li'acher lo. The hava mina is that Rav Nachman's comment is with regard to the use of the charity money for yourself, but to loan it to others, not so. It would not be allowed. The Rashi says in Dibur Hamasel Avoli Acher, toward the lower part of the narrow lines, Rashi says, "Lahalvoisa lechavero loy, to loan it to someone else, no. The laatzmo, when it comes to yourself, ikol lemeimar, it could be said that almanas kein hikta litzdoka, that when he has originally set it aside for charity, he did it with this in mind. Shimitzarech itleno vishalem acheres, that if he should need it, he'll use this money and pay the charity fund later on with another coin. Aval chaver lo asik adaite, but as far as providing it as a loan to his friend, when he set it aside for tzedakah, he generally doesn't think about that possibility, doesn't think about someone else. So therefore, when it comes to yourself, that was part of the initial, it was a type of condition in the original tzedakah separation or donation. Let's continue in the Gemara. Itmar, Omar Rabbi Rav Ami, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Bein La'atzmo, Bein La'acher. Rav Ami says, regarding Rav Nachman's point of Mutter L'shanoisa, this approach says, you can use it for yourself, and you can use it for someone else as well. In other words, you could loan that money that you set aside for tzedakah, you can loan it to someone else as a halva, and later on, tzedakah will be compensated. Omar Rabbi Zeira, loy shanu, elo, the Omar olai. This halach of mutter l'shanosa is so only if the original donation of the tzedakah was done with adding the word olai, upon me, where he said, selazu olai l'tzedakah. That since he said the expression olai, which means upon me, he is accepting an insurance policy for the money in question. He's accepting on himself achrayas, obligation or responsibility with regard to theft or loss. And as a result of that, since olai is an expression of accepting responsibility, it's considered like his own. So when we say mutter l'shanosa, that he can change it for, he can use it for other purposes, that's because he said olai, thereby accepting responsibility over it, thereby making it, this charity donation, as if it's his own money. And therefore he still can change it, of course, with the need for repaying the tzedakah fund later on. Avol, the Gemara goes on, if he omar harei zu, if he said hare zu, namely he said without using the word olai, he said hare sela zu litztoka, and I want this coin to go to litztoka without using the word olai. So bo'ino be'ino boi lemesva. Be'ino means as it is. You have to give it. In other words, you can't give another coin instead. You dedicated this very coin to the tzedakah fund. Maskif lo Rava. Rava raises a challenge to this approach. He says, Adarabba, to the contrary, Ibcha Mistabra, the opposite is more likely. Namely, Omar Zu, if the person originally said Sela Zu Litzdaka, where he didn't formally accept responsibility, Mishtamesh Bo, we would actually encourage him to use the coin, Kihechi Delechayev Bachriusa, through his use of the coin, he would then establish liability or responsibility for the coin. Rashi explains that since he's using it, he becomes like a sholeach yad v'pikado. That's a concept of someone who's watching someone else's item as a watchman, as a guard. If he were to use it, he elevates his level of responsibility. Rashi says, "V'kamalo birshusei linyan tashlumin," and then you become obligated to make good on it. However, if a person said olai, whereby even without using it, he has maximum responsibility, he should not use it. So Rava is saying that if you want to talk about the olai versus zu, if anything, in the case of zu, there is a svara to say that he should use it so as to force him to incur a higher level of responsibility toward the tzedaka fund. However, Aval Omar Olai, lo. Elo loishno. Rather, it doesn't make a difference. In both cases, whether you said Harei Zu, you Harei Sela Zu Litztoka, or if you said Harei Sela Zu Olai Litztoka, you can change it. You can use it, the money, for something else. Tanyu Kavose Derava. We have a point that we call a long point. You can see the nun that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dashed line. All of these lines are to make the point that we have support toward Rava. The Gemara opens up with a source that's vague, and we'll see a little explanation later. Neder tztaka v'ein hekdish tztaka. My ka'omar, what is said over here? Lo neder staka, v'lo hegdish staka. A vow is not charity, nor is hegdish dedicating something to the holy fund, nor is that charity. Elalav hochi ka'omar. Staka harei hu bebal ta'achir, v'eino kehegdish. Charity is subject to the rule of Baal Ta'achir, which means do not delay. That if someone said that he was going to give something toward charity, if he delays in giving it, he can come to violate the prohibition of not delaying. However, even though tztok is subject to Baal Ta'achir, which is something characteristic of sacrificial dedications, nevertheless, it's eino kehegdish. The ilu, the Gemara goes on to say, the ilu hegdish osir lishtamushibay. Hegdish is something that when you sanctify something, you cannot use it. Ilu tztoka shori lishtamushibay. However, when it comes to tztoka, you are allowed to use it. And that is a support to what Rava said, that a tztoka donation is something you are allowed to use. And as we said before, you may use it, but you'll have to make good on it later on and compensate the tztoka, pay the tztoka that amount. Omar Rav Kano, Amriso L'shmaitze Kamei D'Rav Zvid Minahardo. I said over this teaching, namely that one who says Sela Zu Litztoka Mutar Lishanosa, I said it over to Rav Zvid Omar, and Rav Zvid said Atun Hochi Masnisu Lo Anan Hochi Masnina Lo. You have your version, but we have our version. Oh, and what's our version? Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav Abarvua, Omar Rav Ha'imer Sela Zu Litztoka Mutar Lishanosa Bein Latzmo Bein Liacher Bein Omar Olai Bein Omar Harezu. Notice that in this version we have Rav Nachman saying everything, namely that which we had to learn from Rav Ami and Rava above in the crowns is all incorporated under Rav Nachman's initial comment. Tanu Rabbanan, Sela Zu Litztoka. a person makes a stoka donation of a sela, that's a coin, ad shelo boso liad gizbar mutur lishanosa, before it gets to the hands of the gabai, that's ad shelo boso liad gabai mutur lishanosa, before it gets to the hands of the one in charge of the stoka funds, you can use that money for other purposes. However, once it gets to the hands of the one in charge of the stoka fund, the gabai, then it's also to change it, to use it for other things. The Gemara asks, Amy, we're at the very top of Vav Amid Beis. The Gemara asks, is that so? Rabbi Yanai Yosef Upora. Now, Rabbi Yanai was a gabai stoka. He used to, Yosef is loan the mos of tztaka. He used to borrow the money of tztaka for his own purposes. Now, so we have money in the hands of the gabai, and it's being used for other purposes. Of course, when we speak about this use for other purposes, we're not shortchanging heitish. There will always be, we're not shortchanging tztaka. We're always going to refund the tztaka fund. But the issue here is the allowance to use the money that was set aside for tztaka for other things. So here we see that even though it got to the hands of the gizbor, contrary to what was said at the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph, it still can be used for other things. The Gemara responds that in general it cannot be used for other things once it gets to the hands of the gizbor, but Shaini Rabbi Yanai, in the case of Rabbi Yanai, things are different. The nichalul aniyim, that aniyim themselves are happy with this situation, that Rabbi Yanai, who is the baal, is the gabai tztaka, is using the money for his own purposes, thereby a temporary depletion in the tztaka funds. The kamo demashi, as long as there is no readily available money, me'ase u'maisi lehu. That gives an opportunity for Rabbi Yanai to turn to the general population and tell them, hey, you know, right now there's no money in the tztaka fund, and thereby impose upon them to pay money toward the tztaka fund. So at the end of the day, you'll have more money in the general coffers than if Rabbi Yanai had not used the tztaka funds. This way, the money that Rabbi Yanai himself is using for his own purposes, he will replenish. Plus, in the meantime, there was a public collection taking place to provide funds for the temporary depleted supply of money. So the aniyim are happy with this because this causes further increase in the general tztaka holdings. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara continues on the third line from the top, bringing a Tanaic source. Before we learn the continuation of the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin and see a Nosea topic heading, Shinui Yiud Pritin Shenodvu Oysom Lebeis HaKnesses. We mentioned the change in purpose or use of items that were donated to a shul. We'll speak about Goy Shenodav and Yisrael Shenodav, a Goy that had dedicated something and a Jew that had dedicated something. So our Gemara continues, Tanu Rabbanan. We also should note that we have a slash mark here in the Gemara indicating that this is a new idea. Yisrael she hisnadev menorah oner lebeis haknesses osur l'shanosa. A Jew that donated a candelabra or a candle toward a shul, for a shul, it cannot be changed, cannot be used for something else. Sovar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba lemeimar, he thought to say, regarding the osur l'shanosa, lo shno l'dvar horashus v'lo shno l'dvar mitzvah. No matter what this alternative use of the menorah is, it's osur l'shanosa, whether it be for some type of personal use, dvar horashus, an optional use, or even if it concerned the use of the menorah or the ner for some other mitzvah. Omar le Rav Ami,
You'll notice we have a point, a long point marking, the nun that's encircled and found to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, with a long descending vertical dashed line indicating all of these lines are to develop or to this particular point that we're about to learn. And we're calling this number two, as on the heels of Rav Ami's Sova Rav Chiya Bar Avo that we had before. So here, Omar Le Rabbi Ami, Hochi Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Above, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba thought to offer a commentary to the Halach of Osur L'Shanosa by saying that it's unqualified. Rabbi Ami says, thusly says Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu Elo L'Dvar Rashus. The prohibition of using the item donated, the candelabra that was donated toward the shul for other purposes, the isser of using it for other purposes is only lidvar harishus, avol lidvar mitzvah muter l'shanosa. But if you want to use it for some other mitzvah purpose, it would be allowed. Mida Omar Rav Asi Omar Rav Yochanan, from the fact that Rav Asi quoted Rav Yochanan as saying, Oyve kechovim shinisnadev minoro near lebeis hakneses, an idol worshiper that donated a candelabra or a candle to a shul. As long as the name of the donor was still associated with the item, so it cannot be used for something else. Misha nishtaka shein baleo muter lishanosa. From the point that the name of the original donor is forgotten, is not associated with the item anymore, then it's muter lishanosa, muter to use it for something else. Lemai, when you say to use it for something else, regarding what? So we have the double underlines to emphasize the stages in figuring this out. If the issue here is using it for some optional alternative purpose, my iria oive kichavim, why speak about an idol worshiper with regard to if the name has not been forgotten from the item? If we're talking about Lidvar Rishus, then why speak about an item donated by an idol worshiper? Afilu Yisrael Nami. Even if it were donated by a Yisrael, it would be Osir Lishanosa. Elo Lidvar Mitzvah. So we have to say that this desire to use it for something else is for a mitzvah purpose. Now, we are going to infer V'taymah. The reason that it's osur, when we say that it's osur lishanosa, the oivei kichavim hu depoi, because the donor was an idol worshiper who will depoi means will scream, that as long as the item is associated with this particular donor, and he comes along and sees that you changed it for something else, he'll start to scream and make a whole scene over it. Avol Yisrael delo poi. But if you're dealing with a Yisrael that wouldn't make a whole scene, wouldn't start screaming, shapir domi, it would be mutter to change it, to use it for something else, for a dvar mitzvah. So when we started this particular section of Gemara, Rav Ami quoted Rav Yochanan as saying that the iser lishanosa is only Lidvar Rishus, but Lidvar Mitzvah, it would be Mutter Lishanosa. And that's the point we just made over here. That the whole, and from the quote we saw above in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, we come to this conclusion. So that's the point, that if it's Lidvar Mitzvah, it could be used for that, even though it was donated to a shul. The next words are a name, Shazrek Taya. Shazrek is a name, Taya an Arab. Indiv Shraga Lebei Knishta the Rav Yehuda. He donated, Loshen Indiv is a Loshen Nidova, a Shraga, a candle. to the Rabbi Yehuda's shul. Shanya, we're going to have a couple versions by way of names. The first version is Rachba. We say Shanya Rachba, the Ikbid Rava. Rachba changed it, used it for something else, and Rava got upset. Ikod Yamri, Shanya Rava, the Ikbid Rachba. Another version is that Rava used it for something else, and Rachba got upset. The Ikod Yamri, another version of this is Shanya Chazone de Pobedisa. The officials of Pupadisa, who were like in charge of the Jewish community, they used it for something else. This candle that was dedicated by Shazrek. The Ikbid Rachba, the Ikbid Rava, Rachba and Rava became upset. So we have to, the Gemara explains these two points of view, the one who used it for something else, used Shazrek's donation for something else, and those that didn't approve. Man de Shanya, the ones that whoever it was that used it for something else, Savar de lo Shchiach, was of the opinion that Shazrek is not commonly in town, that he would come and make a whole to-do about it if he discovered its use for something else. He's not regularly in town, so you don't have to worry about the whole scene, the whole upheaval. Uman de Ikbid Savar, the one who was upset at the fact that Shazrek's candle donation was used for something else, why was he upset? Savar Zimnin de Mikri Vyasi. Well, sometimes he does come around and he'll see that his candle was being used for something else. He'll make a whole scene. The Mishnah.
Hagoises vayotze lehoreg. A person who is in the throes of death, or he is being taken out for execution. Lo nidar velo ne'erach. He cannot be the subject of a donation, a market value donation, nor a Torah rate donation. Simply put, he, the goses or the yotze lehoreg, has no value. And therefore, if he is the subject of someone's donation or erech, it won't take effect. Rabbi Hanina ben Akavya Omer Ne'erach, he disagrees with regard to the yotze lehoreg. He says that the yotze, the person being marched off to his death or execution, can be the subject of someone's erechin donation. They shadom of ksuvim. His rate is fixed by the Torah. In other words, he has an age and a gender, and that's enough to qualify him as a subject of an erech. Rabbi Yossi Omer, noder umarich umagdish. These people, the goses, maybe isn't so practical, because I don't know how much he can speak, but the yotze lehoreg can initiate a donation or an erechin donation or a sanctification of something. Now, Rabbi Yossi says that they can know der umarich matish. Did the Tanakhama say that they could not? All the Tanakhama said was that the goses yotze lehoreg cannot be the subject of someone else's neder or erech. But as far as themselves initiating it, the Tanakhama doesn't seem to disagree. So this will be something pointed out by the Gemara. What is Rabbi Yossi's point? What's he arguing on? Because Rabbi Yossi says, he says that the goses yotze lehoreg can be no there, implying that someone before had said not so, but we don't see that. V'im hizik chayav b'tashlumin, and if he damaged, even though in a couple of minutes from now he will be dead, but if he damaged, let's say on his way to the execution site, so he is obligated to pay to compensate for the damages. Bishlamo goses lo nidar. I understand that the goses cannot be the subject of someone's value donation, which means someone says, I want to give so-and-so's market value to the Beis HaMikdash. So if the subject of that donation was a goseis, I understand that it doesn't take effect. The lav bar domim hu, he's not someone who has a market value. He's a man in death, in the throes of death, so he has no value whatsoever. Velo nerach, I also understand that the goseis is not nerach. The lav bar hamodav arochuhu. In order to be nerach, based on the psukim, and we've seen this alluded to earlier in the previous dapim, the goseis can't subject himself to standing up to be evaluated. He's not bar ha'amoda v'harocha. And as a result of that, he doesn't fit into the parsha of Erechin. Because when you learn the Torah in the parsha Erechin, one of the necessary qualifications must be the ability to stand up to be evaluated. So, as far as the dinim of goseis are concerned, that he's not nidar, and he's not nerach, that we understand. Yoytzi lahoreg, as far as someone being taken out for execution, bishlamo lo nidar, I understand he can't be the subject of someone's value dedication, the lav bar domimu, he has no value. No one would buy as a slave someone who's on his way to being executed. Elo lo nerach amai, but why is it that the yoytzi lahoreg is not the subject of someone's erechin? After all, he has a gender, and he also has an age, so he would fit into something that's established at the outset by the Torah. The Gemara answers, Disanya, like if you're asking, why is it that the Yotzi Lahorig is not Nerach, so that answer is forthcoming. The Tanaic source, Minayin HaYotzi Lahorig, from where do we know someone who's being taken out to be killed? V'yomar erki olai shilomar klum. If he says, I want to donate my erech, he hasn't said anything. Tamid lomar kocherim lo yivdeh. From this pasuk, we learn that someone who's sentenced to death, so he does not make any payments. So that if a person is yotzei lahoreg says erki olai, it is of no consequence. Would this opinion apply even before the final verdict? Talmud lomar min ha'adam v'lo kol ha'adam. This is an exclusionary expression that's found in the same pasuk. So it excludes someone prior to the final verdict. So when we say that someone who's Yotzi Lahoreg against his Erki Olai, he has said nothing, that is true only if his donation or dedication is after his verdict was rendered. Ulu Rabbi Chanina ben Akavidom ar nerach meshadom of ktsuvim. According to Rabbi Chanina, and we saw him in the Mishnah, that said the Yotzi Lahoreg is the subject of an Erechin donation, because his value is established by the Torah. Hai kolcherim mai ovid lei. What does he use or derive from this kolcherim posuk? After all, the kolcherim posuk indicated that the yotzei lahoreg does not have an erech. According to Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, he does have an erech. So what does he do with this pasuk? What halacha does its source serve as a source for? So hai kol cherem mai ovid le. Answer, mi boi lei lich lesanya. Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya will use it for that which we see in the following Tanaic source. Rabbi Yishmael ben Oshu Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer. Rabbi Shmuel says, "Lo lefisha motzinu lemumsin bidei shemayim shenosin momun eskaprin lahem." We know that people that are sentenced to death at the hands of heaven can pay money and thereby gain atonement, and in other words, obviate the need to go through death at the hands of heaven. Shenemar the pasuk says that we find such a reality that paying money serves as an atonement for someone who otherwise would have been chayav misa bidei shamayim. The pasuk says in the context of an animal that killed a person, it says im kofer yushas olav. Kofer is a reference to a money payment. So that here we have the owner of an animal that killed someone. In that capacity, the owner is said to be chayav bidei shamayim. The pasuk itself says that the animal is to be killed, v'gam ba'olav yumas. Now, literally it means that the owner himself must die. In other words, if his animal killed someone, so the owner must die. But the word v'gam ba'olav yumas, the word yumas, doesn't mean actual death, but rather it means he pays money. So the Braisa goes on to say, Yochol af bidei odom kain. This idea of paying money and exempting yourself or exonerating yourself from a death penalty, a human death penalty, namely a death penalty carried out by the court. Could it be that someone could pay for his exoneration? Talmud lomar kol cherim lo yifdeh. So this pasuk decided to tell us that money cannot serve as an exoneration for, or a redemption for, someone that was sentenced to death. I would say that if you're saying that money cannot serve to exonerate or atone for someone that's chayav misa, maybe that's restricted to the types of misas that we call our misas chamuros. How do we know something is called a serious misa, a serious offense? So that's because shelo nitno shigosin l'chapora, that if it were done inadvertently, so there's no stated means of atoning for it. The kapora would be through the bringing of a sin offering, or golos, or going into exile. And when we speak about golos, we're talking about exile to one of the cities of refuge. Misois kalois shenitno shigosin l'chapora minayin. What about people who violate things that could end up with a death penalty, but they're called light offenses? What do we mean light offenses? When you talk about someone's chayav a death penalty, how can you call it a light offense? That's because if done inadvertently, there is atonement for it. Things like someone who murder, ironically, is called a light offense because it's Shogeg version has kapora. And the same thing would be with something like Chilul Shabbos. Shabbos would be considered a light type of capital offense, because if Shabbos is violated inadvertently, one brings a korban shogeg, so it has atonement. So how do we know that for misos kalos, shenit no shios and kapora, that money cannot be used to get him off the hook, to free him from the death penalty? Talmud lomar kol cherim. So the kol cherim tells me even the even misos kalos, money is not used to redeem, to pay him off, to pay off and achieve exemption from the death penalty. So in the last section of Gemara, we had asked, what does Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya do with the pasuk of Kol Cherem Lo Yifdeh, which we saw in a Tanaic source serving as a basis for the Yotzei Lahoreg, who says he wants to give his erech, he says nothing, it's of no consequence, and that source learned from that point from Kol Cherem. According to Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, that says that a Yotzei Lahoreg does have an erech, so what would Rabbi Chanina do with this pasuk of Kol Cherem Lo Yifdeh? So we answered that Rabbi Chanina, will use it to teach us that someone who is subject to being executed because of a capital offense, he cannot buy his freedom, or he can't buy his exemption from the death penalty. This, of course, is in contrast to someone who's chayav misa bidei shamayim, where by giving tzedakah, one could achieve atonement from that penalty, from that punishment. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Noder Umarich V'chulei. Rabbi Yossi said that the Yotzei Lahoreg could offer a market value donation of someone or something, and Marich, he could also initiate an Erech donation. Since Rabbi Yossi appears in the Mishnah following other names, it would appear that Rabbi Yossi is coming to argue. But did the Tanakama say something other than that which Rabbi Yossi says? The Tanakama mi ka'omar deloi? Did the Tanakama say that the Yotzei Lahoreg cannot be noder and marich? All he said that the Yotzei Lahoreg is not nidar velo nerach. He can't be the subject of someone else's donation or dedication. But as far as the Yotzei Lahoreg initiating such a donation, the Tanakhama didn't say he can't. So why does Rabbi Yossi feel a necessity of saying that he can? Ella, the Noder Umarech Umaktish Kuliyama Lo Pligi, with regard to the Yotzei Lahoreg initiating a neder or an erechin or a sanctification, everyone agrees that he is able to do so. Ki pligi be'im hizik. The whole machlokus between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah concerns someone who was sentenced to execution, and on his way to being executed, he caused damage. So now we have this person. He's going to be dead very soon, but before he dies through execution, he caused damage. Tanakama sovar im hizik eino chayav betashlumin. The Tanakama, is, after all, we're looking for a point of controversy. So the Tanakama says that if this person on his way to being executed damages, he's not chayev to compensate. Rabbi Yossi Sovar im hizik chayev v'tashlumen. That if he does commit a damage, he will be chayev to compensate. At this point, the Gemara wants to know what is the underlying point of controversy between these opinions. B'mai komifligi. Now you see a Roman numeral number 1 to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. If you glance at the outside margin, we have some notes. We have our topic heading, Hayotzi Lahoreg Madino im Hizik Liacher, someone who's on his way to being executed. What is the law regarding his causing damage to someone else? Under the Mivneh heading, you see Roman numeral 1 and 2. These are Shnei Lishonos B'machlokis Rav Yosef V'Rabo. In our Gemara, we will see these names, and we have a diamond marking. Deos Hamazbirin Machlokis Chachomim Rav Yosef. These will be attempts to explain the Machlokis in the Mishnah. In the meantime, we have said that the case over which the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi argue, it's a very specific case, is where the Yotzei Lahoreg damaged someone on his way to being executed. And we saw that the Tanakama will say that he's not chayev to compensate, and Rabbi Yossi says that he is chayev to compensate. And now, what's the underlying point of this controversy? So we say there will be two approaches in the Gemara. First, Rav Yosef, and later, Rabba. So, Omar Rav Yosef, B'milva al peh goyve min hayorshin komifluki. After all said and done, the person who caused the damage is going to be dead in a few minutes. So who is the collection, if a collection takes place, who is it going to be made from? Who's going to be collected from? Well, obviously, heirs. The heirs will be obligated to compensate for the damage that their deceased father committed. So Rav Yosef says, "Bemilva al peh, goyv min hayorshin komifluki." Can, in general, someone who extended a loan to someone else without preparing a document to that effect, and now he wants to collect the money that he loaned out, but the borrower died, leaving heirs. Can a milval pen, oral agreement, an oral loan, collect from heirs? Tanakama sovar. Now, you'll ask, how does that tie in to this? So, we're saying right now that the
debt incurred by causing damage to someone, you now owe that person money. So that's a form of a milveh. Milveh literally is a loan, but it's money owed. There's no shtar that's written as a result of the damage that someone imposed on someone else. It were inflicted on someone else. Therefore, that money owed, or that we call a debt, can be classified as a milveh al peh, an oral agreement. So Rav Yosef says that the machlokis Tanakan Rav Yosef concerns this issue of milveh al peh. Can an oral loan be collected from the heirs? That's goyvim min hayorshin komifli. That's the point that the Tanakam Rav Yosef are arguing, and the Gemara spells it out. Tanakama savar milveh al peh eino gove min hayorshim. The Tanakama says that something that's classified as a milveh al peh, like our case of the hezek damage, the victim won't be able to collect from the heirs. Rav Yosef savar milveh al peh gove min hayorshim. That even though it's an oral loan, nevertheless the heirs can be seized upon for payment. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah that said, "Im hizik chayav v'tashlumin," the debt incurred by causing someone damage, the need to compensate for the damage, we're calling it milveh al peh, and the damager, he's dead now. And so what does chayav v'tashlumin mean? So Rabbi Yossi is explaining that the milveh al peh, in effect, will be collected from the heirs. Rabba Omar, this is another approach other than Rav Yosef, and he says, "Dekuli almo milveh al peh eino gove min hayorshim." Everyone would agree that a standard oral loan that's not recorded in a shtar, such loans cannot be collected from the heirs. Here, the controversy revolves around how do you classify a debt obligation that's stated in the Torah. That's milveh haksuva b'Torah. All kinds of payments that the Torah insists on being made. That amount, that money that's owed, how do we classify such debts? Debts that the Torah imposes. And an example of that that's relevant to our discussion is the damage that someone incurs imposes on someone, inflicts on someone. That creates a debt, a need to compensate, as the Torah itself records. So, a milveh haksuva Torah, how do we classify it? Tanakama sovar. The Tanakama said him hizik, he would be, who we understand to say would be potter, holds the milveh haksuva Torah lavki ksuva b'shtar damya. That which the Torah obligates someone to pay is not equal to something recorded in a document. And as a result of that, if it's not recorded, it's not a loan, it's not a debt that's recorded in a document. Document meaning a shtar, not the Torah, but it's not recorded in a shtar, so you cannot collect from the heirs. Rav Yossi Sovar Kiksuva B'Shtar Damya. A Torah-based debt is tantamount to it having been written in a document, and as such, you are able to collect from the heirs. As we go on in the Gemara, we will see another version of this sugya presented, so that if you have Daf Zayin Amud Aleph in front of you, you can see that Rav Yosef and Rabba will be offering the explanations we just saw, but regarding a different source, and that will be the subject of the upcoming Gemara. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.